But it's better for us to owe it to you than cheat you out of it. All right, if you have your Bibles, why don't you turn to the book of Exodus, chapter number 20. The book of Exodus, chapter number 20. This will be our last message in our series, What Every Parent Wants Their Kids to Know. And I was hoping to squeeze a few more in there, but next week is Father's Day. And next week, you're going to have the Lefevre Quartet. How many's ever heard the Lefevre Quartet? Raise your hand. Okay, they've been around for a very long time. They're going to be here next week and doing a full concert for us on Father's Day, and I know that you're going to enjoy that. Then, of course, the Sunday night service will be dismissed for you to spend time with your folks and have a great time of family time together. So this will be our last message in this series, and I pray that's been a blessing to you. It's helped me. I hope that it's helped you. And today we're going to find ourselves in the Old Testament in the book of Exodus. And I want to look at one of the Ten Commandments that is found here in the book of Exodus, and it's verse number 12. This morning, we're going to talk about that fifth commandment about honoring your parents. I think every parent wants their kids to know that the Bible says they are to honor them. Amen, parents? Boy, should have got a better amen than that. I think every parent wants their children to know that you're supposed to honor us. But what does it mean to honor a parent? What does it mean to live underneath the authority of a parent? We're going to learn that today. And kids, I want you to sharpen your pencils, get your pens out, notepads, take a lot of notes. There will be a test following the service today. Exodus chapter number 20 and verse number 12. Simply the Bible states, honor thy father and thy mother. Now listen, that thou days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Very, very important commandment. It's one of the only commandments here that is tagged with a promise. Listen to what it says. Here's a commandment. Honor thy father and thy mother. Here's the promise. That thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God give thee. In that one verse, you have a precept and a promise. And God tells us this is what we are to do and this is how we are to behave. And then this is the reward that we're going to receive. So today I'm going to preach on this commandment. I pray to be a blessing to you. And listen, it doesn't matter if you're young, still living at home. I believe if you're 40, 50, 60 years old, you ought to honor your mom and dad. They're still living. Yesterday we went to a family reunion in Leonard City, Tennessee, and my mother-in-law's mother was there. She's 90-something years old, and I believe the family still ought to honor her, what the Bible has to say. So we're going to look at that today, and you can be seated. Thank you for coming, and thank you for your prayers, and let's just ask the Lord to bless in the service today. Father, we thank you, Lord, for these truths that we find in the Word of God that guides the family, Lord, guards our hearts, Lord, and gives us the assurance that we need that we are doing the right thing in the eyes of the Lord. My prayer, Lord, is that you would help us to understand this fifth commandment that's laid out here, Lord, in Exodus chapter number 20. Lord, you give us this principle and this precept, Lord, laced with a wonderful promise, Lord, for everybody that is here. So help us, Lord, to achieve the goals that you have given us. We pray that you open up our heart and our mind and let every child understand the truth that is connected with this wonderful verse. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, when you study the Ten Commandments, it's very, very important that you understand that the Ten Commandments is divided up into two different sections. Very important when you study them. And you may want to write this down. The first four commandments primarily deal with your relationship to God. It gives these specifications on how we are to relate to God and what we are to do for God. But the last six, or the second division, the last six of them, it deals with our relationship with one another. So the commandments are divided up in two. The first four, how we respond to God. This next six, how we respond to one another. This is God's 10 holy commandments. Now, when Jesus was talking about these commandments, he basically summarized the entire 10 commandments in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 to verse 39, by summarizing them this way. Listen to what he says. Now, he's taking the two divisions, to God and to man, and this is what Jesus says. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. That's the first half. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is likened unto it. Listen, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. When Jesus used that verse there in Matthew chapter 22, he was taking the first half of the law, which is Godward, and the second half of the law, which is manward, and he was summarizing the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. That covers the first four of those Ten Commandments. Then he says, the second is likened unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Basically, what Jesus is saying here is in these two divisions of these commandments, Jesus is saying this. He is saying that, number one, you can't be wrong with God and right with man. Listen to what I'm saying. You cannot be wrong with God and right with man. Neither can you be wrong with man and right with God. You see, friend, it's a two-way street there. A lot of people says, well, I'm in a right relationship with God and I'm walking with God, but I got this bitterness and this anger towards my neighbor. I can't stand my neighbor. I can't stand my employer. I can't stand this person. You cannot be right with God and wrong with man. And it's equally important that you cannot be right with man and wrong with God. There has to be an even balance. Jesus says you're to love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, with all thy heart, with all thy mind. He said the second half of this is this. That you love your neighbor as yourself, as thyself. So here's what I want to do this morning. I want to take this fifth commandment here and I want to pick it apart for just a few moments. And I want to look at it and give you three simple topics to consider when it comes to truth that every parent wants their kids to know. Now, kids, I can tell you this, your mom and daddy wants you to respect them, okay? And all the parents say amen right there. Come on. Hang with me now. Here we go. The Lord is saying, parent or kids, you respect your mom and dad. You love your mom and dad. You do what is right. Now, I want you to understand this. There is three wonderful topics in that one verse that the Bible talks about that gives us what we need for spiritual assurance. Number one, the Bible says God gives us the gift of parents. Now, I want you kids to know your parents are a gift. And you're out there saying, man, I got gypped. I got the Kmart Blue Light Special, you know, parent, you know. What's going on there? Parents are a gift from God. And I was thinking about this, you know, this week as I was kind of preparing for this. I was thinking about my parents. And I wish I could spend more time with my mom and dad. You know, when I was younger, it seemed like you wanted to run away very, very quickly. You wanted to run here, wanted to run there, wanted to, you know, run over there, stay with the buddies, be gone all the time. But now that I'm older and I look back, I wish I could spend a whole lot more time with my parents than I never knew that life would take me 600 miles away from them. You see, I understand as the older I get that parents, they're a gift of God. And God gives us wonderful parents. Now, when you look at the context of the verse, you'll notice that being a parent carries a very weighty responsibility, doesn't it? I think it's very, very difficult, especially in the day that we're living in, to be a devoted and devout a parent, one that is both tough and tender at the same time. Now, I believe that parents ought to be a little tough on their kids. Say amen right there, Jacob. Huh? Ought to be a little tough on your kids, but at the same time, you ought to be tender also. I think there's a God-given balance. I think we can't be too passive and we can't be too strict at the same time. We've got to be tough and we've got to be both tender. And there is a delicate balance. I was reading a story about a guy who was going through a shopping mall, and as he was going through the shopping mall with his little boy, the kid's just making all sorts of racket. He's screaming and he's just going crazy, and the guy keeps going down the mall. And he's like, okay, George, be calm. It's all right, George. Calm down. Quiet down, George. We're almost home. You know, and he just keeps telling George, George, just calm down. Everything's going to be all right. Well, this older lady seen him, and she come up to him. She said, you know what? I just got to commend you how you were taking care of little George. You were so patient, and you were calling his name out and telling him to calm down. He said, lady, his name ain't George. My name's George. Calm down, George. Almost home, George. A few more minutes, George. You know, I've been there, you know, and you've been there too. Sometimes it is very, very difficult and even strenuous to have a family. But you need to understand that the Bible teaches that parents are a gift from God Almighty. And really, when you think about it, being in the role of a parent, You need to understand that parenthood is a threefold responsibility or a threefold phase we can look at. Number one, it's a biological matter. You understand that? It's a biological matter. Being a parent is a biological matter. Kids have absolutely nothing to do with choosing their parents. My kids couldn't cast a vote. They couldn't say, I want one with hair. They couldn't say, I want one with $1 million. The lot was cast to them by the providence and the divine sovereignty of God. God allowed Jacob, Haley, and Heather to be born into the family of David and Melissa Sampson. They had absolutely nothing to say about it. It's a biological matter, and parents have nothing to do with choosing their kids. I couldn't say that I'm going to go down here to the local God Mart and I'm going to put my bid in for one that's, you know, this and one that does that, one that cleans his room, one that loves to wash dishes, one that mops and vacuums the floor, one that has the car cleaned and washed and shined every single Saturday, and I never have to ask them. No, I had absolutely nothing to say about it. In this biological matter, under the providence and the sovereignty of God, God created my children. God created me and my wife, brought us together to have a family under the obedience of the Bible and the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? You see, that's what the Bible teaches, that there was a time under God's providence that you were chosen out from millions of cells that was running through these bodies. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 139, verses 14 and verse 16, listen, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I want you to know, friend, that shoots a hole right into evolution. You're not a direct result of a monkey. You're a direct result of the almighty hand of God. Can you say amen? David said when he contemplated this biological matter, he understood that. He said, I will praise thee for this. The more he thought about it, he said, I am fearfully and I am wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. Why, you just think about the human body. You think about how the eye can see as far as it can see. You think about the DNA that's within us. You think about how there's electrical impulses running up and down our body, causing our heart to run. How marvelous and wonderful the human body is. David said, when I thought about this biological matter, he said, I'm going to praise you for it. Marvelous are thy works. Listen, and that my soul knoweth right well, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which is in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. You know what God was saying? Before you were conceived, God already knew who you were going to be. He knew how intelligent you would be. He knew how athletic you would be. He knew how obedient you would be. He knew all these things about you. When David said, God, as I think about this, how wonderful and marvelous you are. You already knew who I was when I was being formed there in the secret parts, all before I was conceived. God already had his eyes on me. Honey, I'm here to tell you today, God has known you from the beginning, and he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will always be there for you. And David said, I've got to praise you because you're omniscient. You see all, you know all, you understand me. You see, being born is this biological matter. And David said, I'm going to praise the Lord. So since being a parent is a biological matter, parents have a responsibility to raise their children responsibly. Mom and dad, you've got the God-given responsibility to do what is right. You've got to be tough, yet tender at the same time. You can't let little Johnny and Susie get away with everything. You can't let little Johnny and Susie sash your face. You can't let Johnny and Susie raise a hand to you either. Somebody say amen there. Huh? I was at the mall one time, and I've shared the story with you, and those of you that knew, you'll hear it for the first time. But I was at the mall with my kids one time, and there was one of those mountain climbing things out there at the mall. You see the rock climbing thing? And this kid was, you know, bungee strapped in there, and he's climbing up this thing, and my kids are sitting there watching him. And it was time for him to get off the thing. Well, he wouldn't get off. He's pitching a fit. Well, his mama went over there to unbuckle him, and when she got him out of that harness, this kid's about 10, maybe 12 years old, he went up and he slugged his mother right in the face. And I'm standing there and I'm like, you know, and I'm looking down at Jake saying, you know, and she started trying to wrestle him around. He punched her again. He punched that woman twice. Well, finally, the worker comes over there, grabs a hold of the boy, and she runs over to me. And she's running towards me. I'm thinking, lady, what are you doing? And she says, did you see what happened? I said, yes, ma'am, I did. Would you write it down? I got to go to court over custody for this kid. You just see him punch me in the face twice. I thought, God help. Look at look what society has taught and trained our children to do. Disrespect authority. You listen to me. If your child is disrespecting you at home, they will disrespect authority at school. They will disrespect authority of the law. They will disrespect the authority of the government. And they will ultimately disrespect the authority of God. You have got a responsibility to be tender, yet you've got to be tough. You lay the law down. You set parameters. Don't you cower down. Don't you back up. They don't parent you. You parent them. Amen. That's good preaching, Brother David. Can you say amen? You've got the God-given responsibility. You know why? You are a gift to your children. God has put you there as a pillar and a post. It's a biological matter. They didn't choose you. You didn't choose them. God brought you both together, and God says, here's responsibility. You do what God has called you to do, and God will bless the home. But not only is it a biological matter, think about this. You know this now, parents. Parenting is an emotional matter. You see, being in the world of the biological matter doesn't really qualify you just to be a parent, does it? Huh? It really doesn't. There's a lot of people involved in the biological matter, and they're really not parents. Someone say amen. Do you get my drift right there? Being involved in the biological part doesn't really make you a parent. There's another aspect in this gift of parenting, and it's this. There's an emotional matter. There's an emotional matter. I think that all families ought to be attached emotionally somehow. We ought to cry together, weep together, we get upset together, we do things together, we experience life together, and by doing that, we grow. I was reading this week that in the West Coast University, there was a 6-year survey that was conducted by researchers, and they found that self-confident and successful people had 3 things in common. When they did the 6 long year survey, that self-confident, successful individuals that made themselves of something later on in life, after their adolescent years, there was 3 things they found in common. Number 1, their homes were orderly. Within the home of that child, there was order, there were boundaries, there was tenderness, and there was toughness. There was a parent willing to stand to do what was right, but yet be gentle enough to let them experience some of the things of life in order to grow. Every successful, confident person, they found that there was order in the home. The second thing they found was that the parents were not permissive. They weren't just yes people all the time. Listen, don't be afraid of your children. Huh? Don't be afraid of your kids. I've told all my kids this, everything you own belongs to me. Now, I can make you happy or I can make you sad. You can sleep on the carpet with no Xbox, or you can have a bed and own an Xbox. You don't have to have a cell phone. Wait a minute now, you know. It's in the hospital contract somewhere. If I'm born in this family, I get unlimited texts. You know what? I seen somebody the other day. I was taught, this kid was 9 years old, and his dad asked him, he said, hey, have you ever seen the little cartoon, the movie? He's like, oh yeah, I got it. I have it on my iPhone. 9 years old and had it on his iPhone already. You know what? The first phone I got, I worked for it and I paid for it. It was one of the big bag phones. You guys remember those? It was like a purse. It was a man purse, but it was cool then, you know. It's a phone, you know. It's not a purse, it's a phone. You know, and I remember I bought my very first one. I was in my truck and I plugged that thing up to the lighter and I called my mom, you know, Tim, and I'm going down the road and it's, you know, you know, my mom's like, hello? Hey, mom. What's going on? You know? She's like, nothing, Dave. What's going on? I go, guess where I'm at? She's like, where you at? I'm in my truck. No, you ain't. Yeah, I am. I'm in my truck. You know? I remember a cell phone. That's how old I am, man. Huh? I remember when cell phones came out. Take your kid's cell phone away and watch you rock their world. The kids are like, man, preacher, you're killing me right now. Huh? Take their cell phone away. Cancel their text messages. Get rid of the Xbox. You've got to be both. Where am I going with this, huh? And I'm not even on medicine today. I have no excuse. Just being a parent right now and not a preacher, right? Not being permissive. I'm talking about saying yes to everything. There's got to be a time where you stand some ground and you tell your kids, this is what's going to happen. These people that were self-confident and successful, their homes were in order, their parents were not permissive, and listen, they were loved. Listen, they were loved and valued in the home. Those people that went on later on in life who were self-confident, motivated, they were people that you didn't have to babysit and keep an eye on. They moved the country. They moved cities. They moved counties. They gave leadership. They were kids, men and women, boys and girls, who were loved and valued. Mom and Dad, you've got the responsibility today, not only on a biological side, but also on an emotional side. You've got to be connected to your kids. They've got to know that you love them. They've got to know that you value them. You don't choose this one over that one. You find their qualities in all of them, and you try to enhance them. You try to pick out their faults. You try to pick out their failures, but you find their triumphs, and you elevate them and you speak about them. It is your God-given responsibility. Why? You are a gift to the family. Can you say amen? You see, not only is it a biological matter and an emotional matter, but let me give you a third one. It's a spiritual matter. It's a spiritual matter also. God has placed us within the home as a spiritual resource to our children. Listen what the Bible says now. Proverbs 22, verse 6. You've heard this verse many, 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 many times. Listen what it says. Train up a child in the way he should go. What's the rest of it say? You know? And when he is old, he will not what? Depart from it. Now, many of you here today, and I'm going to challenge you a little bit. Some of you have taught and believe that that is a promise. If I keep him in church, everything's going to be all right. That is not what the verse is saying. The Bible says that you are to train up a child in the way he should go. Jacob, Haley, and Heather, all three of my children, they are vastly different, all three of them. God has placed within my kids and your kids different types of qualities. God has placed within them different types of characteristics. God has placed within them different types of mentalities. Me as a parent, I am to discover and I am to help train them in the way they should go. That is, God has placed within them, within their human DNA, God has placed within these intrinsic qualities in every single individual child. You as a mom and dad, you're to identify that, and you are to help them move towards that way for the honor and the glory of God. What happens is this. That dad wants Johnny to become like him. And he lives his life vicariously through his son. Maybe dad was a great football player. Maybe dad was a great athlete. Or maybe dad was this or that younger. And he pushes all of his former things he did onto his son. So he lives his life again vicariously through his son. Listen, your son is unique. Your daughters are unique. And it's your responsibility on a spiritual plane to pray and to discover what God has placed on the inside of them and move them that way. And as they are moving that way, you will give God honor and glory, and they will take the God-given talents, the God-given resources that God's placed on the inside of them, and hopefully use them for his honor and for his glory one day. If you'll train them in the way they will go, they will never depart from the path that God has providentially laid out for them. And that's deep stuff there. We're swimming in some deep water, but you go home and study that, and it's going to help you as a parent. I believe what's happened is we have missed the boat many times as parents. We've overlooked what God has placed within our kids. You know what? And sometimes it's when they're very little that you can see some unique things. I'm not even the parent of this child, but I can tell you, little Garrett Dunn, if that boy doesn't grow up to build skyscrapers, I'll be surprised. That kid, he loves to draw and to build, and he's got an imagination that's as full tilt as he is. We'll go that far, right? And he loves to do that stuff. And Robbie's talked about it, and Shannon's talked about it, and it seems like it's natural to him. Robbie and Shannon's responsibility then would be this, is look at that little guy and help him to go the way God has called him to go, not only to build skyscrapers, but to build people's lives for the honor and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Bible says it's a biological matter. It's a spiritual matter. It's an emotional matter that parents are a gift of God. Now watch the second topic as we transition here. Not only is it a gift that parents are a gift, but second of all, the verse teaches this. There's a godly precept tied here. Listen to what the Bible has to say. Verse number 12. The Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother, listen, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now that fifth commandment does not start with this, listen. It doesn't say, love your father and mother, nor does it say, obey your father and your mother. What does it say, church? Honor your father and mother. Now, the question we have to rise is this, what does it mean to honor somebody? It doesn't say, I want you to love your mom and dad. It doesn't even say, I want you to obey your mom and dad. God's commandment was specific to Moses there on the mountain. He said, Moses, write it down. The fifth commandment shall be attached to the promise. Honor thy father and thy mother. What does it mean then to biblically honor our parents? Basically, honoring is the way that you rightly acknowledge and respond, listen, to the legitimate authority in your life. When you honor your parents, you are rightly responding to them as the authoritative head within the home. Kids, let me tell you something, you're not in control, they are. Kids, let me tell you something, you're not in control, they are. Come on, parents, huh? You are to honor your mom and dad. You say, well, Pastor, what does that mean? Let me give you an example. My nephew just recently went into the military, and Nathan's actually leaving back out today to go to Wyoming. And when he got into the military, he quickly discovered that who was the authority in his life. As soon as he got there, he realized that he wasn't large and in charge. And I remember before he went, you know, he was so excited, you know. He thought he was going to be Rambo, you know, swinging on a vine somewhere, you know. And he's all excited about it, you know, and he's going to do this, he's going to do that. And when he got there, he realized very, very quickly who the authority was. He's not out on his own underneath mom and daddy's wing and, you know, not living at home, and he can do what he wants to and all this and that. As soon as he signed up and he got in the military, hey! He found out there's somebody else in control. And what he discovered was this. The more he lined up underneath that authority, the better his life became. You see, if he didn't rightly respond to the authority that was there, his life was going to be absolutely miserable. So he begins to line up his life with the authority that is there, and he obeys, and he gives a good performance. And as the years go by in Nathan's life, he will look back on the years and he will see the military men and those women that had invested in him and loved him and trained him and gave him leadership qualities. And later on in life, he'll look back and see that those that he really thought that he hated really paid off and helped him for good. And can I tell you, friend, you and I are the same identical way. You see, when we honor, you and I begin with simple obedience to our parents. Kids, you are to obey your mom and dad. They tell you you're not going to go here, that you're not going to go there. You can't go do this, and you can't go do that. They are there as guidelines in your life, and your God-given responsibility is to simply obey your mom and dad. Then it goes from learning from them. You watch their lives. You watch how they conduct themselves. You learn from them and gain the experience from your mom and dad. And then you go on in life, and finally, when you get older, you look back and you say, that old goat who used to give me a hard time, who wouldn't let me go to the movies, and who wouldn't let me run around my buddies, who wouldn't let me do all that, boy, he sure is a wise individual today. How many of you look back, and right now you could say, my mama and my daddy, they are the smartest people living, huh? Raise your hand, huh? All of us, huh? I look back and I think, boy, my daddy was so stubborn. My mom, she was so, you know, mean. She let me do this and let me do that. But what she was doing, she was already looking down the road. You see, all I seen was the fence. They seen over the fence because they'd walked the road before. And sometimes when your mom and dad says no, and your mom and dad says you can't do this, understand this. They love you and they are guiding you. And in years to come, I promise you, write it down in your Bible. I promise you, you'll look back and say, my mom and daddy sure was wise. My mom and dad kept me from a lot of bad things. You see, to honor your parents simply starts with obedience. Then from obedience, you learn experience. And then from experience, you gain that wisdom that comes with raising your own family. So the question comes this: how do we honor someone? How do we take care of our family? Well, you say, well, I'm honoring my mom and dad. I do that, Brother David. Why honor them all the time? Do you really? Kids, I'm talking to you today. How about you that is here that your parents are still living? Do you honor your mom and dad? You say, of course I do. I honor my mom and dad. Well, is ignoring your parents honoring your parents? Completely ignoring them? Not paying them no attention? You know, I think it's a shame when and there's nothing wrong with nursing homes, and I thank God for nursing homes, but you put your family in the nursing home, make sure you take care of your family, amen? I think it's sad when we go into the nursing home, we see some of our older folks in there, they have absolutely nobody but the nurses that are attending to them. Don't ignore your mom and dad. They brought you into this life, you've got a God-given responsibility to take care of them in your older years. Somebody say amen right there. And, ignoring your parents, that's not honoring your parents. What about this? So I honor my parents. How about lying to your parents? Is that honoring your parents when you lie to them? Did you do this? Did you do that? Oh, yes, I did. The whole time you're lying, is that really honoring your parents? How about defying your parents? Your parents said, I don't want you to go down there. I promise I won't go. And you sneak off and you do it anyhow. I don't want you to go hang out with those people. They're bad news and all this and that. They've been in a lot of trouble. Son, daughter, you don't need to go do this. And what do? You say, I'm not going to do it. And you defy your parents and you deceive them. Are you honoring them when you are ignoring them, lying to them, defying them? How about, are you honoring your parents when you embarrass them? When you put your parents in an embarrassing situation, you say things that you shouldn't be saying and you criticize them, or you call them demeaning names, or you insult your parents in front of a crowd. Listen, don't ever insult your parents. And by the way, don't ever smack or push your parent either. Someone say amen. Huh? You have absolutely no business telling your mom and dad calling them any name whatsoever. You don't humiliate your parents. I believe if you do, you'll stand at the judgment seat of God and you'll give an account for your disrespect to your mom and dad. That's tough preaching right there. Can you say amen? Are you honoring your mom and dad when you're ignoring them, you're lying to them, you're defying, you're embarrassing them, you humiliate them, you disappoint them, and you intentionally don't submit to them? Of course not. You say, well, Brother David, how do I honor my mom and dad? The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 20, children, obey your parents, here it is, catch it now, in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleased. See, this is truth that parents want their children to know. You say, I want God to bless my life and I want God to take care of me, then simply your task as a child at home, your task is to obey mom and dad. You see, because children usually go through about three different stages in the relationship with their parents. First of all, they idolize them, don't they? Well, man, you know, when I was little, I'd be like, hey, my dad can beat your dad up. I'll tell you right now. Come on, you know, daddy ain't got no hair up here, you know, all this and that. It don't matter. I idolize him. He could do anything. Dad can fix anything. He was the best sportsman. He was the best dad in the world. And your kids, if you got little kids right now, man, they idolize you. Eat it up. They think you're Superman. They think you can do anything. There's nobody greater than you. One day when we was living in Indiana, Jake was probably about 5 years old. He was in kindergarten, and he might have even been just a little bit younger than that. And he was picking up some rocks, and he was throwing them across the street. And he was trying to hit this fence across the road. Well, this guy pulls over, and he screams at Jacob, and he calls my wife a bad name. Seen Melissa stand out there in the yard planting flowers and said, you know, that kid out there and blah, 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 he's just, you know, cussing her out. And Jake, he's about this high. He looks and says, ooh, my dad is going to get you. He knew trouble was coming if daddy found out what was going on. Idolized. They go through the stage of idolizing them. Then they get a little older and all of a sudden they demonize their parents. They went from idolizing them, they can do anything, now they're going to demonize them. They are the source of all my misery. My parents are. You know, I can't do this because of mom and dad. I can't do that because of mom and dad. I've got to mow the yard. I've got to take out the trash. I got to take care of this. They're the source of all my misery. And all of a sudden they went from idolizing to demonizing them. But then they get smart. They get smart. Kids go from idolizing them to demonizing them, but then they go to utilizing them. Ha. Huh. They realize, wait a minute. You know, they got the money. I need them. Even though they're the source of all my misery, I need them if I'm going to accomplish what I'm doing in life. I need mom and dad. I got to borrow some money. I got to have the car. I got to have some gas. I got to have food. I got to have things. I got to utilize these people. I got to get a little smarter. While they go from idolizing to demonizing to utilizing, then older in life, they humanize them, don't they? You look back and you see that mom and dad, they weren't Superman and Supergirl, huh? They weren't the richest people on the block. They didn't have all the luxuries and all the trinkets and all the toys. They were just simply two human beings that fell in love, that God put a family there. And you realize they had faults, they had failures and all this and that. You see, friend, being a parent, it's a gift. God says it's a wonderful gift. It's a biological matter. It's an emotional matter. It's a spiritual matter. But also there's this wonderful, glorious, godly precept that God says for all children, honor your mom and dad. There'll come a time in your life where you'll look back when you're going to have to say goodbye. And Thanksgiving will be different. Christmas will be different. For some of you here today, these holidays this year are going to be different for you. This Thanksgiving, this 4th of July, this Christmas will be different. Mom and dad won't be here. And where you used to idolize them and demonize them and utilize them, now you've humanized them. And you realize, boy, they were there for me the whole entire time. God put them in my life. God gave me this wonderful individuals. And here's this godly precept that God just says, honor them. That is, rightly respect the authority that God has placed in their life. You see, parents are a gift. There's this godly perspective we see. But last of all, one more topic. There's a glorious promise that's tied to this wonderful verse. This truth that every parent wants their kids to know. Look at what the verse has to say. Honor, that is, place yourself with the right attitude under their legitimate authority. Honor thy father and thy mother. And here is the promise, listen, that thy days may be long upon the land. You want to live for a while? Honor your mom and daddy. The Bible says that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God gives thee. Now that's a glorious promise, and the promise really has a twofold meaning. Number one, I would say first of all, there's a national promise that's listed here. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land. God is talking to the nation of Israel here, and in talking to them, he says, if the children's going to honor their parents and do what is right, he's saying then God would give them long life in the land of Canaan. They're entering into Canaan, and God takes Moses up there, and he gives them the Ten Commandments. He says, this fifth commandment, Moses, is very important. I want them to honor thy father and mother, that their days upon the land, a national promise that they're dwelling there, they're living there, will be long. Friend, I'm here to tell you, there's no promises in the Bible that America will sustain herself. The only way America's going to sustain herself, it's when you and I begin honoring our mom and our dads. We get back to right living and godly living, honoring the Ten Commandments and the Word of God, and standing upon the principles and precepts of the Word of God. When America has revival, then God will sustain us. Can you say amen? He'll keep us long upon the land as long as we're sharing the story of his glory. You see, there's a national promise here. He said, I'll keep you in the land flowing with milk and honey. I'll bring you right where you're supposed to be. This wonderful national promise. But not only is there a national promise, but notice there's a personal promise, I believe, that can be seen in the text also. That thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God gives thee. You know, Ephesians chapter 6 verses 1 through 3 says this. It says, children, obey your parents of the Lord. Watch this. For this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. I think that's a great promise. I don't think there's anybody wanting to die today, is there, huh? Honor your mom and dad. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. The first four commandments. The second is like the first. Love thy neighbor as thyself. The fifth commandment starts honoring your mother and your father. You say, well, Brother David, wait a minute now. You know, you're saying if I honor them, I'm going to live long upon the earth. What about those little bitty babies or little bitty children who die early in life? What about a little child who's 6 years old, or maybe a child who's, you know, an infant? What about those? How did they ever stand a chance? What about those who die in their 20s or even in their 30s? Did they disobey their parents? Were they wrong in the eyes of God? Did they sin? You know how old Jesus was when he died? 33 years old. In that society, and even today, 33 years old was a very, very young man. Yet, Jesus could only accomplish in that short period of time what the Father had sent him to do by dying a death. And so the only pastoral advice that I could give you today, you say, Pastor, my child's not with me today, and you know, my son, my daughter died when they were a teenager in a car wreck. Maybe they died in their 20s. Maybe they died when they were younger. The only pastoral advice that I can give is this, that somehow in the grace and the providence of God, that precious little bitty child of yours that you love with all of your heart that went to heaven when it died, it had a work that it could only do and accomplish in no other way except through death. And through the death of that little child, God has transformed and God has changed you. God has changed our church through the death of some children here at this church. I'll never forget when I got the news that Jared Bean had died, was standing on this very stage singing a song that I wrote entitled Standing in the Storm of My Brother and My Sister. When I got the news that that young man had been in a tragic car accident, and just for a moment, I looked over into the corner of the auditorium, and it appeared to me that Jared may have been sitting there. And I looked again, and it dawned on me that Jared wasn't there that night, that he was actually absent, and he was in a car wreck, and he had died. And I remember standing there with Ray and with Kim Bean, some dear, precious friends of ours here at this church, and walking into that hospital or that funeral home and seeing his body lay there and watching his daddy moan and groan and cry. One of the most hardest and difficult things I think I've ever gone through in the ministry was to stand there at that moment and watch his daddy weep and to cry over his son. But I have watched how the Lord has taken a death like that and used it for His honor and for His glory in a very strange way. And today you may be here and you said goodbye to your child. Maybe they were in their 30s, their 20s, maybe their teens, or maybe even younger. All I can say is this, in the sovereign mind of God, God must have had a plan that through the death of that child, by taking it on to glory with Him, God could only reveal His will and His plan and His circumstances through the work of death. He did the same thing at Calvary. There was only one way that Jesus Christ could accomplish the work that His Father had sent Him to do, and that was through the vehicle and the suffering of death. And when He accomplished that, He gave the Father glory. He brought redemption to you and I. He sealed us with His Holy Spirit. He's building us a mansion on high. And guess what? I've taken a sneak peek in the back of the book, and because of that glorious death at the age of 33, He is coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Can you say amen? Let's give Him a hand clap of praise. Can you say amen? The death of Jesus Christ at the cross, it brought honor to His Father. And God accomplished that task in no other way. So likewise, I believe today that those of you that are parents, you're asking, Brother David, how do I honor my parents? Or you're a child, you say, Brother David, how do I honor my parents? I can say that there's only one way to honor your mom and dad. Listen, the same way that Jesus Christ honored His Father. and that's through obedience. The Bible says he endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of God the Father. Listen, there's only one way for you to be right in the eyes of God when it comes to relationship with mom and dad. Listen, kids, it's obey. You simply obey. They're going to make a million mistakes. They're going to say the wrong thing a million times over. They are not perfect in no way. But if they are Christian and they love God and they love their family and value you, you listen to their counsel, you listen to their heart. Because in years to come, you're going to look back and say, those were the wisest people that loved me, watched out over me. Now I know why they want to be in church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday, and revival, praying with the youth group, going on missions trips. One of these days, it's all going to make sense. And I don't know where you're at in your relationship with your family right now, where you stand with your mom and your dad, or whatever your family relationship may be. But I do know this. God loves the family. God instituted the family and the home. He cares for it. He sent his son to die for it. He established it. So whatever you're going through today, why don't you just come to the cross? Bring your family cares down here. Lay them at the altar and say, God, this is where I'm at. This is what's happening in my life. This is what I need help with. And I believe God's going to bless you, bless our church, bless our nation. If you believe that, say amen.